How do you get it out?
Small to you, are certainly given to this committee this evening. We have, I've had ample time to go through this budget. I've had a lot of reading time lately. And there's some things that I see on your, the one sheet we got this evening, the FTE comparison 2012 budget. None of those items are in the budget book for people to see. Those are those small things. So I'm asking the staff this evening if there's raises that we need to know about. I see some now on this sheet that I couldn't find in the budget book. These are the things that could be embarrassing to a committee when they come before the finance committee. These are also the things that could be some of the most difficult on a county board floor. So anything that's in here that you think we should know or anything that you've been told not to tell us, I want to tell us this evening. And we'll move on to the committee members. Any committee members? Comments? We haven't gotten to use the government. Supervisor, here. Any other supervisors in the room? If not, we'll go to youth and government. Mr. Beth.
As a student of one of the teachers who was killed in the accident yesterday, I've been getting a lot of the students know I serve on the county board, and coincidentally, I serve on the public works and facilities, so I can have kind of a direct voice of the youth as for what goes on with roads and things like that. And a lot of them express concern, like, how can we better improve that intersection so we can prevent further accidents, and so I would encourage the committee as well as the department to just kind of look into maybe some sort of action that we can prevent an accident from occurring like that in the future. So that's what the youth of Kenosha County are, especially the students at the school, are feeling. So that is what I have to say.
Thank you, sir. I know Gary is very familiar with that intersection, where that was.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out last night, my sister called me. Teacher was her assistant in forensics at Central High School. Told me about the accident. I said, there's nowhere where an avenue intersects with an avenue in Kenosha County, but there is.
There is.
And that's the one.
That's the one.
Where it curves around behind in Slice Corner.
Correct.
That's a pretty visible intersection. I was by it three times today. But certain tragedy, you know, for this area. So, it is one of those intersections where you have to center yourself back to the right to be able to see left. It's not, it comes in at an angle. It's like the library intersection where we had to put it beside, where it doesn't come in. At. So I know Gary does have, he's got a lot of experience with that type of intersection, so maybe we can be looking at that.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So now we'll move on. Citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to address the committee on any matter regarding facilities, parks, highways, and all, you'd have 5 minutes to address, and we just ask that you give your name and address, and feel free to speak.
My name is Kim Mielbauer. I live at 9128 Prairie Village Drive. Give me 5 minutes. Thank you. My first concern is that, and I'm speaking for myself, but just from the people I know, I think I'm speaking for a lot of the taxpayers in the county, that you'd like to see a levy freeze, no increase in the levy this year. And I hope tonight, as you go through the budgets, you try to find ways that can do that. The big area where we've seen a problem, of course, is the debt service levels keep going up every year, and it's based upon decisions made in the prior year. So hopefully this year we also look at how much capital acquisition is made, that then we're going to have to even have a higher levy for next year. I'm very concerned, as I think are many people, about the golf division. It's a losing business. In my mind, I don't see how the taxpayers can continue to subsidize a losing business. I don't see any hope for it ever becoming profitable. I see in the budget request that there's another $875,000 in debt, which I believe is going to go somewhere over a total of $2 million that's owed, which also means next year's debt service will probably be over 300, 380. I'm not sure what that is. If closing it down, Brightondale at least, is perhaps too bold. I would at least ask that you do not approve any capital improvements, nothing to increase debt until a more serious look can be taken at the entire Golub operations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens that wish to address the committee? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to number five, review and approval of the 2012 proposed budget from CIP projects for the Division of Highway, Golf, Parks, and Facilities. Where are we going to begin?
Mr. Chairman, I was going to have Mr. Kupfer has put together, he's worked, and a lot of staff has worked, but he's going to be the point guy tonight to give a presentation. He handed out a summarized kind of thing. I think the intent there is to give everybody a high-level understanding of the big pieces of each of the budgets, and then we can drill down into whatever the committee wants to drill down into after that.
Well, we've got Department of Public Works levy comparison sheet. We've got a FTE comparison budget. That's
yep.
what you're talking about?
Yep, those are the two summary documents.
Okay. So proceed.
Is there anybody that particularly wants to go first? I don't know. The budget book is in the order of facilities, golf, parks, highway. So that's the way we laid out this form. I'll explain a little bit what these two sheets are. The one sheet that has a heading on it, the levy comparison, there's a top little table there rounded to thousands of dollars that shows the difference in the levy for public works going from 2011 to 2012. The total for 2011 levy for DPW was $7,236,000, and the proposed levy for 2012 budget is $7 million, a decrease of $236,000. And facilities has an increase in the levy of $285,000, parks is a decrease of $45,000, highways is a decrease of $476,000, golf there is no levy. The bottom section shows, again, there's one column for each of the various divisions, facilities, golfs, parks, highway, and then a total. And we try to break it down into major components. So when you're going through the budget book, it might be easier just to go from this sheet to that sheet, or we can go through the detail if you all have notes. But these are the major changes, either increases in expenses or decreases in revenues, which make up the difference of that levy. The second page that I handed out is the full-time equivalent comparison, and we can go through each of these changes in personnel, and these are the only changes that we are requesting. There's really nothing in facilities, three in golf, one in parks, three in highway, and we can talk about each of these as we go into each department. So if we start with facilities, we really don't have any FTEs to talk about. There's nobody on that sheet. But we can start with the budget book and go through facilities first, unless anybody wants to do another department first.
Anybody have a preference?
Okay. Then let's just go in order of the book then. Facilities, their budget starts on page 45 of the big book. Page 45 is the mission statement. Page 46 is the comparison of FTEs from budget to budget. There's no change in FTEs from 2011 to 2012. Page 47 is the organization structure.
Mr. Chairman, can you go through this on page 47 just for my benefit for the new members for not being more. Top two or three sectors, we could associate these with these just we can sketch them into our book. So, for example, on page 47, Director of Department of Public Works, that'd be Mr. Argo, is that correct?
Yep.
And then just on the next tier down, as you go, which includes prize the committee of a person's name so we can be acquainted with those.
Sure. Project manager is Frank.
This is Martinelli.
And Ron Henning is the manager of facilities maintenance.
There they go.
Okay.
Do you want me to, like, direct all answers through you or anything, or can I just, when they ask me?
No, we just don't have conversations. They have to ask me.
Got it. Okay, page 49. Well, page 48 is really a summary of the various types of expenses. And then page 49 gets into the individual accounts. And I've summarized again on this page here what the difference is in facilities. I can run through them, or you can ask questions. But I'll just start off by saying for facilities for next year, there'll be an increase in the payroll of a little over $20,000. Facility still has their contract in effect, so those are regular raises as per the contract. Decrease in retirement. All these are basically numbers that are calculated by the personnel department. Decrease in medical insurance. FICA goes up a little bit because payroll goes up. We have an increase in maintenance agreements on equipment because we did a bunch of new equipment at public safety building.
Yep, it's largely for the equipment, the UPS units, the crack units, which are basically air conditioning units that are designated just for the IT and radio equipment room. It's basically maintenance agreements on those equipment, those pieces of equipment, as well as the generators in the building as well.
There's an increase in refuse pickup. Really, that's for two locations. That's for the public safety building, which we've always had refuse pickup, garbage pickup from waste management, and they've never charged us for that. And we're not so sure if that's going to happen next year. So in two of the departments within facilities, we put in a provision in case we have to pay for that ourselves. And we cross-charge that back. At the job center, it'll end up getting cross-charged back in the form of wherever they bill back for the services they provide. Or in the public safety building, it gets billed back to the city.
Can you go back to the next one we just had before that?
Yeah.
As we go through these, can we ask questions?
Yeah.
As we go through it.
Yeah. So you have a question?
On that, a maintenance agreement, I just have a question on that.
Go ahead.
Because it's for the safety building, is that being charged back then? Part to the county, part to the city on a formula?
Yep.
So that it's not totally a county cost in the end result?
Correct.
Is there kind of a ballpark formula at this point, or how do you...
The formula is defined in that IGA agreement that was passed. I don't know the specifics, but I know that it's one of all the maintenance costs for that building get folded into that formula and whatever that
like
formula...
Like the rental or whatever?
Exactly. It's part of the rental. Yep.
Okay.
So how do we come up with that figure? Because they refuse to pay us. They haven't paid us anything on any of the other.
I thought they did actually finally come to a resolution on that piece. There's many things that aren't resolved, but I thought they did get to a resolution point on that.
I heard there's just a couple $1,000 that they haven't paid of that one. That's what I heard.
On what portion?
On the public safety rental.
On the rental?
Yeah.
But on these agreements for maintenance.
Yeah, that gets folded into the rental agreement.
That's into the rental agreement.
Okay. If you go a little bit down further at the bottom, there's an increase in the cross charge out of $32,000. We're going to pay extra refuse. We're going to pay extra maintenance agreements, and the $32,000 is part of what gets charged back as more than we charged back last year. And I can't tell you that I'm totally familiar with the ins and outs of the intricacies of that formula.
But the intent is to capture all those costs associated with the maintenance of that building, and it gets folded into that formula. And I'm certain that they did get caught up. They might be off by a couple of grand, but they got over that initial hump where they refused to pay us.
They're off by 500 something.
Well, now that's on the healthcare or on the health department thing. That's the one that's still in court.
But on rent, they were too, weren't they?
They have been making payments.
But what was originally, what was the number that they owed us like 6 months ago?
On the rental, they've been making payments on the rental.
The first year they over, I think we highballed them rent of about $140,000. That was last year, was the first year. And when you look at, if you go down a little further in that column.
What is the pay there?
I'm basically working off this sheet
that.
Unless.
Okay.
Because if you go to the other sheet, they're all kind of summarized here.
And, fine.
There's an item down there that says decrease the safety building rental. From the 2010 budget to the 2011 budget, the rent that the county charges the city, I'm looking for the exact amounts here. So it's like went from $800,000 to $650,000, rough numbers. So the amount that was originally intended as rental last year in the budget has gone down. We got underpaid in, or paid less in 2010 than we thought, but this year's 2011 budget was based on what they thought they had to pay. So it's down. It makes a big difference in the levy for facilities because their change in their levy goes up $285,000. $175,000 of it is from safety building rent that they never had. $55,000 of it is from these maintenance agreements we never had. It was new equipment for 1 year, pay the maintenance agreement. And then these refuse pickups, which we're still not sure if we'll have to pay for or not, you add those items up, and that is the bulk of the change in the facilities.
Has the city agreed to share the refuse agreement?
It would be covered if we have to pay it. There's a certain list of items that they have to pay their share of. Yes. Yeah.
It's covered under that IGA. It's one of the things that gets folded right into the cost.
But I know that they ignored it for a year, so that's why I'm asking this question. But it's in that IGA.
Yes.
Then we'll just go to court like the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
On your $40,000 item for increase in revenues and pickups, where do we sit in our big budget book? Is that incorporated on page 49 somewhere?
Nope. I'll tell you where that is. Right about in the middle of the page. Pardon? Sorry? No? Jump in. That's just one department. That's the safety building.
Okay.
There's another, that's 30,000, right? There's 10,000 at, well, it's one of the other buildings.
So we'll see this go through under that line.
Yeah, it's on page 59 under the human services. Those are the two facilities where we have to charge back. I'm not sure where I left off here. I'm back on the one page, just kind of going through the. I can go through the book. It just doesn't really show these increases or decreases in the book, which is why I was working off the sheet. There's a decrease in contracted services of $12,000 and an increase in building maintenance. What I did, there were several things that were in contracted services, which at all other departments I could see in the county, really went into their building maintenance agreement. So I moved $12,000 in there, and then we bumped up building maintenance by an additional $18,000 to cover a bunch of things, little problems that seemed to crop up. Maybe, Ron, you can throw a little bit more detail into that.
We had an increase in some mandated services through the state, such as each elevator has to have a special test done every year. Each elevator, it's roughly around $900 per elevator. So these are things that weren't normally in the budget.
Generator.
Now we have to do quarterly tests on the generators at the detention center, mandated by ICE. At DLC, and these were things that we hadn't had in the budget before. Normally we had biannual tests done on the generator.
And I threw a little bit of extra money in some of the other departments, or because we seem to come up short when it comes time to pay for those things. So there's a couple extra thousand. And this is made up of 10 or 12 different locations, as I'm sure you all know.
Right.
Okay, utilities, we're planning an increase of about 23,000. The way we did increases here is about a 1 or 2% increase in electricity and maybe an average of about 7% increase in gas. Kind of countywide. When I looked at what all the projections are from for next year, those are about the amount. So at all these buildings, that adds up to $23,000. We talked about a decrease in the safety building rental and the cross charge, and everything else added up together adds up to $7,400. Now, if there's some little items in there that you guys picked up, is what?
I'm going to go back up to increase fuel on the sheet we're working off of. Facility zero, golf $10,000. Parks $13,000, and highways $200,000. Can you explain that a little bit to me? These are increases, I would assume?
Yes, increase from last year's budget to this year's budget.
What are we, okay, I'm at golf. Where are we at a $10,000 increase in fuel? Explain that to me.
Sure. We went back and looked at average usage by the Parks Department, the Golf Department, the Highway Department for the last 4 or 5 years. And we average out how many gallons of fuel that they use. And then we use, for the 2012 budget, I think it was $3.30, maybe it was $3.31, a gallon for next year. And that is the increase from the 2011 budget to the 2012 budget. And when we get to the detail, I think golf's around $80,000. Parks is around maybe $70,000, but highway, they budgeted only $400,000 for this year. We're already over that.
Obviously.
Yeah. I think it was budgeted at, I don't know, Vicki, what was the number, 280 or something?
Something. Yeah. That's what the price was last year at this time, so we'll use the current price of last year in a bit.
Yeah, you'll see it now, I think, in the Sheriff's Department, too. I'm not exactly familiar with their budget, but I just checked to make sure that they had some sort of an increase, and they have something like that, too.
Thank you.
So, okay, for facilities, the next page we probably want to look at is, I think it's at page 52. This is their capital, and this is just the capital for what they call the Civic Center, and there's a couple other pages that will talk about the public safety building and the job center. But we, I guess the county has typically broken this down into items underneath $25,000, and then CIP, the items over $25,000. So the smaller items are replacing the chiller overflow basin in this building. Removing, or it's really fixing, there's I-beam wall supports at the detention center. There's a do you want me to go into detail, or if you know what they are? Because there are explanations in the back on some of these, especially the larger ones. And then infrastructure repairs to the antenna here in this building.
And actually, Jim, to clarify that EMS infrastructure, that's basically to do to take a look at all of the major antenna towers, the one, not the monopole down at the safety building, because we already checked that one out this year when we did the safety building project, but the lattice tower that's mounted on the building itself, that tower, the tower at 60th Street by the old highway, where the old highway garage used to be, this tower here, and the one at Highway B, basically to take a look at all those, do a load analysis, determine what kind of maintenance is needed on them going forward, and basically not wait for something to fall off or fall over before something happens. Get a handle on those, because one of the things we learned when we did do the safety building, we started to look at all the antennas, the towers, there wasn't necessarily a whole bunch of rhyme or reason that went into why stuff was loaded up the way it was, and some towers were actually overloaded. And the load placement, there was a number of issues that we got straightened out, and it basically turned on the light that we really need to look at all those towers and make sure they're all where they need to be, so nothing happens to those going forward, because they're critical to the whole EMS system's functioning. So that's what that's for.
Again, the item for $75,000 is to replace piping at the job center and the detention center. It's really two separate projects. One is for, I don't know, Ron, maybe you better jump in and give them a little bit more detail about that.
The one project we're doing this year, and it's to put isolation valves in at the detention center on both the domestic water and the heating hot water system, so we can isolate the building into zones. The other one would be the continuation of that project for $75,000 next year to upgrade the plumbing fixtures throughout the building. It would be easier to do once we have the isolation valves in place, so we can take a zoned area of the building and upgrade that. Hopefully get some good commercial grade fixtures in there that are parts available and will last a little longer. The KCJC part of this is our bids came in favorable for our project, and we have $32,000. I think bids for the isolation valves came in $32,000 under what we projected, and we're hopefully going to be able to reprogram that money to replace the main domestic water feed at the job center.
So just to clarify that, so because it's lumped together here,
right,
the Kenosha County Job Center and Kenosha County Detention Center. What Ron's saying is for this year, 2011, there was $75,000 in,
right,
for the first phase of the detention center's plumbing isolation valves. Those bids just came in Wednesday last week?
Tuesday.
And those came in at what? The low apparent low bidder was?
$38,300.
$38,000. So there's money left in there that appears to be adequate to get that the water main going into the job center that blew out 2 weeks ago to possibly get that work done this year. This $75,000 that's in here right now, it was figured, because when this was put together, we didn't know, those bids just came in last week, so we didn't know where we were going to end up. So I guess where I'm going with it is we'll probably come to the Finance Committee and to use that leftover money from the job, from the detention center, to get that project done this year at the job center to get the water main replaced. If we do that, it could knock this number down, because this right now is figuring the detention center and the job center.
Yes.
So we could knock this number down if the committee so desired, now that we know where the bids came in.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
On the job center, when that main broke, that's in the parking lot, is that correct?
He wants to know exactly where the main is coming in. It goes under the parking lot. Explain maybe.
The main comes in off of, what street is that behind?
I think it's 10th.
Yeah, 10th, yeah.
10th. Comes off the 10th.
It comes in just south of the second driveway on 10th, just off the corner of the building. And it angles in, and what it does is it goes underneath that 4,800-volt transformer and follows the path of the feeder pipes coming into the building, so it actually travels underneath there and then pops up into the sprinkler room.
So is this much like any homeowner business, that the person receiving water supply is responsible for that run from the street main to the property?
Yes.
Underneath the property, is that how it works?
Yes, so it's our responsibility.
Considering your programming money, because it came in less for KCDC,
right, we're saying that we could take, because that project that we had for this year came in under at the detention center, we could reprogram that money, get that main fixed yet before the snow flies, hopefully.
This construction season,
because they've got it all tore up. They just put gravel over the top,
yeah,
and they didn't blacktop over it or anything, because we were hoping we'd be able to do it. And then we could knock this number down from, I don't know, what do you think we need for the...
We'd probably take $30,000 out of there.
Because that's what we've got.
Right.
We're anticipating 30 grand.
So that's good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There's a few more facilities items on page 57 that relate to the public safety building, a couple other capital items.
What page are you on?
57. The way they put the budget book together, they split the facilities capital items between the downtown campus, then they have a second page for the safety building, which is this page, There's two items on there. There's a Bobcat they'll use for plowing snow at the public safety building and whatever other uses they have down there. And then replacing one of the air conditioning units. There's a whole series of units that need to be replaced over a period of time. And this is the first one.
Any questions on those two items?
Last budget season, did not we purchase a Bobcat for downtown campus, or we didn't?
There's money in the 2011 budget to buy a Bobcat. There's a total of two down there, one for the courthouse.
One for the courthouse.
And one for the safety building, which they both basically get used for that whole civic campus in
so
the event of
a... completes the second Bobcat purchase, is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
When you look at your AC condensing unit, that's for the safety building. There have been some issues with one of the units at the administration building downtown, that one that squeaks all the time. Is that in our budget here, or is that not being addressed?
It's in a carryover. Yeah, it's not in the 2012 budget. It's money in there to do that one this year.
In 2011.
The mothership or whatever they call that?
Queen Mary.
Queen Mary, sorry.
So is that right, Ron? We're looking at having it replaced in this budgetary cycle at KCAC?
Right. We hope to carry that money over to replace the Queen Mary next during the fall or during the spring. And then there are four rooftop units at the safety building that all live their life expectancy. We hope to bring them up one at a time and replace them.
So in your page 57 for the safety building, to replace how many units?
That's for one unit.
One unit?
Yes.
Out of a total of how many?
Four.
That's my question, Mr. Chairman.
I just wanted to clarify something, too, because this unit on the public safety building, I mean, they're all, whatever they're pushing 15 to 18?
1982.
Oh, they are the original ones. 1982 units. So they're at the end of their useful life, but this one that we want to replace, literally Debbie, the building chief, kind of glued and pasted that thing together about a month ago. Mm-hmm. End of August. That thing's really on its last legs. The Queen Mary, that one, it sounds horrible. Frank actually had that one looked at earlier in the summer, and although it's age-wise, it's near the life end of its life, and it sounds horrible, it actually was given a somewhat borrowed time. It's not as bad a shape as this. So I just, even though it sounds horrible, we had a guy look at it, and it needs to be done, but it's not as urgent as this one, I guess. It's just so you got the perspective, I guess.
Any plans for the county board chambers to get that bearable in there in the summertime? Anybody have any ideas?
If we haven't looked, what we're finding is on all these air units, whether we're talking Brookside, whether we're talking the K-Cab, and even the original safety building stuff, what we're finding is, you know, it's been budgeted historically just to go up and replace a unit. What we're finding is we have to go back in and actually engineer and get it straightened out. At Brookside, we're actually looking at doing duct work, upsizing units, because from day one, when those things were turned on, in the summertime, we were running garden hoses on every one of those condensers right from the beginning.
So it's not just that somebody leaves it off until we get there. It's that it's just not...
It's not sized. It's probably not sized properly. It's just... It just wasn't engineered.
It's not just a mess with us.
Yeah. No, I don't... And it's not to mess with the county board.
It's sweat, just... Yeah. You sweat in there when you get in there.
It's just poorly designed.
Yeah. I'd rather freeze in the winter. Yeah. Okay.
The only other capital item for facilities is on page 62, and that is to remodel two of the four original equipment bathrooms back from probably when Tops was built. There's four of them there. It'll cost $49,000. There's two men's, two women's. It'll cost $49,000 to remodel two of those, and then we do the other two in 2013.
And that's it.
The job center, yeah.
On the north end of the building?
Yes. That's the two I'm thinking of, right by the north entrance to the building.
Yeah, those are the ones that are first.
Yes, sir.
And then there are two back across from the Gateway classrooms.
Yeah.
When we took a tour of that, I think 6 or 8 months ago, the feeling at that time was to leave the footprint the same on those, which remodel them in their existing configuration. Is that correct, or am I?
My preference would be to, the footprint has to remain the same because we're kind of landlocked there, but I'd like to reconfigure the bathrooms. I think if we reconfigure, we'll be able to maybe get a couple extra stalls in the ladies' room and possibly another urinal in the men's room and just take a little reconfiguring.
But the footprint remains the same. That's my recollection. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else on the facilities? Okay, we'll do these separately. To remind the committee, we'll be making recommendations to the finance department on the budget presented to us. And at this time would be an appropriate time to make a motion on this portion of the budget. If there's anyone wishes to discuss it.
One other thing to discuss, Mr. Chairman. Page 50. Parking space lease. Is this an annual presentation really as of 6/30/2011 we have $2,950 in parking space revenue?
I believe, and Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that that reflects what the treasurer gets now from the monthly rental. She does rent out spots in there on a monthly basis to Metro Riders or county employees, and that's probably what that number is right now.
We've had discussions with you in the past where without proper dating and enforcement and so forth, you could just park in there and feel as though they didn't have to pay for the service, so I wanted to have the committee right up to speed on that.
Yeah, there is, though, a number of spots that are marked as reserved, and I don't know if they have a tag or what they have, but
they've got a reserve sign on
it. A little tag. So there is. That's the type of control that's in there now. That's it. But yeah, everybody else that goes in there, because there's no gates on it.
So you have to account for them. 2012, the amount of $6,000 revenue collected for the parking will be achievable and carry on.
Yeah, I actually didn't. I'm assuming that was put together based on what the treasurer is projecting, and that's. She's called me a couple of times asking for more spots to get marked as reserves so she can rent them out. So I know that there is some additional demand down there because I think everybody knows we're going to be putting the gates up and they somehow think this is going to protect them from that.
Anything else on the subject?
One question. I noticed on that personnel, in 2011 budget, we added 0.8 part-time custodian. I don't know what would it. That was the first time we had that. Where is that function being done?
That basically is in the safety building. Not basically, it's in the safety building. And it was two part-time people to just work the weekends. What we wanted to do, we were hoping to get those positions filled early in the year, which didn't happen. In fact, I think we just hired people in the last couple of weeks. But basically what we wanted to do was swing. Right now there's three shifts, 7 days a week at the safety building, and we're pretty thin at times. And what we wanted to do was swing everybody to a Monday through Friday schedule and have just minimal coverage on the weekend with these two part-time positions. So basically, it's two that you can probably explain better than I.
It looks like we're going to end up hiring four people on site. Two on first shift and two on second shift, one to work Saturday, one to work Sunday on each shift. When we interviewed people, we found that it was pretty near impossible to find somebody willing to give up their weekend all year long. But doing it on Saturday or Sunday, we found capable and competent people.
So the concept is then we have really good coverage during Monday through Friday, get all of the major work done then. We just have minimal coverage on the weekend. If there's something that does break, which does happen occasionally, then we'll be able to call in somebody to help with that, which is pretty much what happens now. But in the meantime, we can get a lot more done having things fully staffed during the Monday through Friday. That's when the bulk of the activity is taking place in there anyway. So when we added the safety building, 60,000 square addition on there, 60,000 square feet, this is how we decided to skin the cat to keep the cost down. There's really the equivalent of 0.8 full-time equivalents to cover things.
Thank you.
Anything else on facilities?
Hey, Ray, going back to this parking space. I guess I could assume we're going to propose 6,000 going up. If you get the gates up by where it's open June, that could even be a better number, correct?
Right, and that, though, and just for determining how we're going to, what we're going to charge, who we're going to charge, how we're, that's all going to have to come through the county board. Probably, like I think I said, in March we'll bring that through so we can get that. But yes, then that will go up. That was part of the original grant, as I read it. But that thing is supposed to generate enough revenue to at least cover the maintenance for that. Mm-hmm. And so we should be able to do that.
The 6,000 number is what we know we're going to get now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's conservative.
Right. Anything else on facilities? Yes, sir.
In general, the capital items, the smaller capital items we covered before, like the chiller and the courtyard, is there any room for any of that forward to this year? I'm looking at like a couple lines where this year we have a budget of $44,000, but we spent zero actual. I guess it's probably because overall the budget we don't have room, or we can't pull it forward to this year. But is there any opportunity to do? I hate to see like borrowing small items like that, you know, like 8,000. Could we fit in the budget, I guess? Is that a reason?
What page are you on? What page are you on? Or?
Like page 49, major building maintenance, 535,700 is budgeted for 2011, 44,000 says we spent zero. Next year we want to put 15,000. I'm guessing overall we don't have room, but I'm thinking why don't we put like, you know, facility items in that, why aren't we spending it in the budget? Why are we?
Well, the 535,700 number is levy money.
Okay.
The other number is that you think you're looking at for the budget for next year is bonded money.
Right. But I'm wondering, can we pay for it if we're not spending it? Maybe it's not an appropriate budget.
I think that's... Oh.
That money is already, the money that you're seeing in 2011 is already designated for certain projects. And the reason it hasn't been spent as of June 30th just that the project hadn't gone forward yet. So as that project goes forward, that money will be spent. So it's, and if we had to make a change, we would have to come before the finance committee, and if we were scrubbing like business or object codes, it'd have to be a resolution come before the county board in order to change projects also.
But that's a good question though.
I would just like to suggest to someone here, before we would approve that, that we go back to page 52 and take the consideration that the staff gave us that they might have $30,000 extra. And the Capital Outlay Project plan.
Yeah, basically to reduce that, based on now we just got the bidding last week, we could reduce that $75,000 down to $45,000 and should be comfortable.
So I would appreciate someone consider making that motion.
I'll make the motion to, as was presented, with the subtraction of $30,000 out of the capital outlay, dropping the $75,000 to $45,000.
And that recommendation go to the finance committee.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? If not, all those in favor of facilities budget as presented with the motion to reduce the fund 411-194-80 business unit by $30,000. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? You the governors? Okay, so Vicki, will you report that to the finance committee?
Yes,
okay.
We will.
Thank you.
Yes.
So we'll move on to golf.
Okay, golf starts on page 63.
Maybe if you wouldn't mind, start with your FTE comparison.
Sure. Okay, the first proposed 2012 FTE budget item is the addition of a full-time golf coordinator slash supervisor. This work was previously performed by a seasonal employee. Not a part-time person, but seasonal. It's the first change.
Okay. I'm sure we'll have questions on that, so I'll ask the first. What is the position of golf coordinator supervisor?
The group golf coordinator coordinates all of our groups for both facilities. We're proposing this change because this way he could work year-round, do a lot of additional sales work along with myself in the winter, trying to increase revenues by increasing our group participation, having that person as a salaried person rather than a hourly person. We feel that they could perform more duties in the summer, work longer hours, and instead of paying them hourly, get more production out of that position year-round by working winter in sales and working summer in supervising the golf courses.
Do we have a monetary number on this change?
The currently the person makes I think it's give or take a couple hundred dollars, about $36,000, and it's I think the new number is $45,000.
We had a seasonal employee doing
yeah.
it with no benefits.
Right.
And this one would.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, so that's a bigger number than $45,000.
Yes.
So where will we find that in the budget?
Where it's on page 10S. The dollar amount is way in the front of the chart table.
Yeah.
It shows their position added, and then it shows the dollar amount.
Yeah. Is 45 the right number there?
So it's 49. It's on the second grouping. The first grouping is eliminated position. The next one is added position. And I believe when they put that $49,000 on there, that includes the benefits. The benefits are attached to that.
And then we're dropping one of our part times?
Yes. The seasonal employee, those hours will go away. It's the same person.
So we're dropping that seasonal, so they're making $36 now.
Yeah, it's $17 an hour times $2,100 or whatever.
$13,000 increase.
Look at the blanks here as we go along. General Manager Golf Operations on page 65, I assume it's Mr. Dreyer.
Yes.
Who do we have as Supervisor Golf Course Division?
Dave Hassel.
And then the person for this golf course is our Supervisor Division?
Jeff Wales.
Then up on top, I assume Assistant Director of Finance and Budget, that's Mr. Schwartz.
Yeah, that's so.
Yep.
Any other discussion on the golf coordinator supervisor?
Just to clarify then, so you eliminate the seasonal part-time at $36,000 a year, and you'd bring on this person on as full-time for $49,000 with Benny's, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
With benefits?
That would be with the benefits attached.
So it's a difference of
$13,000.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So how do you do that with the benefits attached? Only add $13,000. What's the retirement of the insurance?
Well, he was already getting the retirement part as a part-time employee. That already is attached, so the only thing, and the FICA is already added on.
It's medical insurance.
The only thing you're adding on is the, I don't know if they get life insurance, but for sure the health insurance.
The health.
a family.
Well, and he could be single. Yeah. I mean, it could be a single family.
But that's not a guarantee. Does anybody know?
He's definitely single right now.
Right. But it could go up another $10,000 next year.
If the person they selected would have been, would be married.
Or gets married.
Or gets married.
Right.
The person working it right now, what has he brought in, even on a part-time basis, to now we're going to be given a full-time position? You know, is there, to the group outing, is there the, what you can bring in out there that will cover his salary and cover his benefits to do this on a full-time basis?
I certainly believe that there is, yes. I mean, we started out last year, I think we did 130 outings, and we had 39 leagues. Through his efforts, we had 141 in outings this year, and it's 41 leagues. So if within, you know, this last year, he has brought, is it 141?
You looking for a number of outings?
Yeah.
I can probably find, but I'll take this.
It was either 138 or I know the leagues went up by two and the outings went up at least eight outings this last year. And we had about 10 outings that were canceled because of the, you know, the inclement weather that we had this spring. So I believe with extra effort, with having, and that was in a seasonal position, with having, you know, now is the time where, you know, these charity outings and the bigger events start booking because, you know, they need the time to coordinate for that. So now is the time, if we both are putting the effort in, I feel that that's where the extra outings will come about.
My major concern is saturation of the market. I mean, we have so many facilities now. We bring in someone full time to try to bring more in when they just might not be the number of outings or leagues to be created.
Well, we have excess capacity, as you know, at Brightondale that we can do that. So I feel that with more canvassing and more calling and more effort, I mean, there's a lot of different organizations out there that we can talk to and bring outings from.
Numbers, if you need them.
Yeah, it was 137 in the outings and 41 in the leagues that we had this year, from 130 and 39. So, seven more outings and two more leagues.
From last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody's dancing around this whole golf issue, and it's an issue. You know what I mean? Bottom line, in my opinion, golf is losing money. Everybody knows it. You can say it's inclement weather, you can say this, you can say that. I cannot support anybody getting any more money in golf. I cannot support a full-time position. I just can't do it. You know, because I don't think it's fiscally and financially responsible. You know, I understand that the whole golf model, I get it. It's a bad model. It's a loser. I understand. I get it. But we got to stop dancing around the gorilla in the room and do something with this. And I don't feel that throwing part-time to full-time or you know, in-line terrain adjustments is the answer. You know, I mean, we set up, this Chairman, isn't this an issue every year?
Yes.
For the last, what, decade, two decades? I mean, we got to get down to brass tacks on this, and if it's to eliminate holes, to do, you know, I'm not here ran at anybody's parade. But at the end of the day, my understanding was last year, you know, we kind of skirted around the issue a little bit more. But man, it's the same old song and dance. And I haven't even been here a long time. I can just imagine the people that are tenured here. It's, you know, we got to get down to what's really going on here. And it isn't about I kind of agree with Supervisor Frederick. Maybe the market's not there. I mean, you're telling me you're up only 7 outings and 2 more leagues. I mean, that doesn't justify bringing somebody up part-time to full-time to me. You know what I mean? That's just my feeling of the situation. And I think it needs to be put out there.
Yeah, the whole current study that's going to be supposedly presented to a select few on, I think, the 16th of this month, the county executive is putting together. Then that'll come to this committee, before the budget then, and before the budget is passed. Whether that report is going to be biased or unbiased, that's hard to say. Any other comments on the one item before us at this point, which is the seasonal to full-time?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
I'd just like to make a comment on the golf operation. I think that I personally think that this is probably a good move. I think that we've shown within the last year that by giving the golf operations the tools to be able to operate in a cost-effective manner has certainly worked. In a lousy year that we didn't have good weather, we had a road construction project going on, which we all know probably took a toll on it. And having the new computer system and being able to check the, run more effectively with using your personnel and your staff less than what you needed to because you could count your hours and those types of things. So, we have this capital or the debt service is going to be paid off in this golf course in 2014. Is that correct?
It's either that or
2015,
so we have 3 more years of debt service. The golf course is the only operation in the county where the debt service is charged back to that particular operation. We don't charge back debt service to any other operation other than the golf course. Now, you can take that for what it's worth, but if you took the debt service off, like you do any other department, the golf course would not be losing money. So I think it's unfair to continuously say that this operation is losing money. We had a presentation by Southeastern Regional Planning on our whole parks thing, which certainly told us that we could possibly use another golf course, which we all looked at each other like, you've got to be kidding me. So I just want to say that I think that the golf operations are doing a good job. They've certainly, it's known that the courses are in great shape and the people that we've hired and the people that we brought on to be able to accomplish what we're looking to accomplish has happened. So I think we need to be a little patient, and I think we need to continue to work with the course and work with the people who are trying to make it a better place, not only for golfers, but for the whole Kenosha County. It's a positive for Kenosha County, and we need to keep it. Thank you.
Another question. This person they were called seasonal. From what date to what date did they work?
They started February 12th or 14th to help get ready for the golf shows, and he'll work until at least to the middle of November. So we'll get December, January, February, like 3 more months of effort out of him, in sales. And that's, why we're trying to do this, so that we can bring those extra outings, so we can make a difference on the revenue, so we can bring the revenues up. Plus, he'll be a salaried person, so every hour that he works is not charged back against you know, our labor budget. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we were able to, you know, get our labor budget under, you know, it's going down $100,000 for next year, and we feel that by, you know, having them put in, you know, more hours, working 50, 60 hours sometimes in the summertime, working 6 and 7 days a week if necessary with the outings, you know, that we're going to be able to reduce that, you know, seasonal labor dollar figure, and that's why that number is where it's at, where it's reduced $100,000 plus all the benefits.
Yeah, it's been my experience that you're not going to take a salaried individual and work 70, 80 hours. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, I can't buy that. You know, what happens when he works 25 hours in that week? You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. You know, you can't sit in front of me and tell me, I'm thinking to do this so I can work them more and pay them less. You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? I mean, for the 3 months or the less than 90 days that we need this person, I don't see the big deal just to keep him the way he is as a seasonal employee, part-time, no benefit package, this, that, or the other. I just don't, I don't see what that's going to give you.
Any other discussion?
Can somebody comment on the debt? You said it's paid off in 2015. What is our total debt right now?
There's about $3.5 million left, $3.4 million. The annual payments on the principal are $300,000 each year. And then the interest is like 60, 50, I think it's 40 next year. And then it goes down from that.
$300,000.
Yeah, and say 50. It's like 350 a year, give or take. I'm sorry, it's a million. Yeah, I'm sorry. If I said 3 million, I was not correct.
Anything else you want to comment?
I just general comment. I mean, I've heard a lot about the golf as well from my constituents. I understand the model is tougher because it's not. It's the only area where we do charge the debt service back. I personally don't have a problem with giving somebody a raise. You know, I'm trying to think about the bigger scale. How can we break this even? You know, I think we have too much capacity in general. I think we have too many holes. I think that sudden light shows something. I think that's where we potentially look. But I do understand that we're only 3 years away. Maybe it's a short sighted, but I do think we need to find something to do with the gone. But I agree with your approach.
If it passes, if this change, golf coordinator supervisor passes this committee, I think you're going to need exact numbers for finance to say what is the net difference in numbers to show us. I mean, it's going to have, with or without benefits, of what it is exactly, the difference. You're eliminating something, but you're adding something. So what is the benefit of having that person there? You know, because I think it's one thing to go through this, and we might agree with it and move it forward, but that, you know, we start looking at those numbers again.
You're so right.
Yeah. And the only other, it's showing on this chart no levy, but it's picked up your losses basically this year. You'll have what it's picked up in the department, because there will be a loss. And I don't know what that number's going to end up being. You don't know what it's going to end up being. So this year, 2011. So we have to shake out the rest of the year and see what the, where is that at right now.
Our forecast for this year and after debt service is a loss of, I think it's $181,000.
And how does that compare with last year on the top of your head?
It was bigger last year. It was what, $250,000? I'll tell you exactly what it was. Forecast for this year after debt service loss is 181. Last year it was 322. The year before that it was 296.
The projection is down quite a bit. That's a better scenario. But you ought to have those numbers too.
Any other discussion?
Great. The only other thing I wanted to add is, you know, I guess more at a philosophical level, so I'll try to keep it brief, but, you know, sometimes I struggle with that.
Taxpayer better feel philosophical right now.
I'll try to keep it. The only reason local governments got into municipal golf in the 20th century was for what? If you weren't the right religion, you weren't the right race, you didn't have the checkbook, that's why PETS was created, that's why they got into it. Now, that no longer is a valid, thankfully, that's no longer a valid reason to have municipal golf. But from what I can tell, reading these PGA publications and USGA publications, the sole reason that they do it now, that you can support it, is for economic development. That's really the lens to look through. So what I see is that the municipalities are looking at still supporting municipal golf. They're not looking at it as it's got to stand completely on its own 2 feet, because depending on what accounting machinations you do in your given municipality, you can make it look rosy as all heck, or you can make it look like crap, whatever you want to do from an accounting standpoint. The bottom line is, if you look at what it brings to the economic value to the community overall, that's the lens that most places are looking. The newest municipal golf course that was added was in Lubbock, Texas, or some place that had nothing. They did it solely as a means for economic development so they could attract businesses, because they didn't have anything there. Luckily, we're not in that spot, but it's the same basic argument. So one of the things that we wanted the Carthage study to look at was, what is the economic impact of having the golf course? What is it? And back up those numbers, because we challenged them. There's also, they looked at closing the 9 holes, as Supervisor Kovar, I think, brought up, or Dan, or Supervisor Speaker brought up. That's in there as well. And there's other things to do with the business plan itself. But the bottom line is, from an economic standpoint, they've projected, and they can back up their numbers at the risk of stealing thunder, because this is one of the things we're going to talk about when we have the presentation. It's somewhere between $8 and $11 million is what it brings to the community, having the municipal golf course operations that we've got. So if you look at it through that lens, if we're putting in a few hundred grand a year, which is less than 0.5% of the levy, and you look at it as an investment in the community, if it is bringing $8 million, hell, if it's bringing $3 million, it's a heck of an investment. So just another perspective.
The problem is, we've been waiting on this Carthage thing for quite a while now. We've been told we're getting it next week. Next meeting we'll have it. We'll have it the next meeting. We don't have it. It's budget time. We have to make recommendations to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee can put something back in or take something out. And this committee is never going to see that Carthage report before we have a chance to make a decision.
Is. The timing is not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. That's what I want to see. I would have liked to see the Carthage report. All I know is, I have a constituent that stood up in front of us tonight that said they got an issue with golf. He's not the only gentleman that's got that issue, because I have a lot of people in my district that have that issue. So for me to be fiscally and financially responsible for my constituents, you know, I can see where you're coming from, and I appreciate it. I appreciate golf. You know what I mean? I understand that. But at the end of the day, the economic downturn that everybody's facing is that we have to tighten our belt, and things might hurt a little bit, you know, all over, you know. So I'm not here to slam on golf. I'm just saying that golf's the big white elephant in the room, as Supervisor Rose said in our discussion last year in the budget. You know, it's got to be addressed. I think it looks 10 times better this year than last year. I commend Dan Ryer and his staff. I do. But at the end of the day, you know, it's an issue. You know, and I understand your point. But I think you have to understand my point, too.
Any other discussion on this? Or are they?
On the revenue for 2012?
We're right now on this position.
Oh, okay, sorry. Nothing else on that position.
Anything else on that?
I'd like to make a motion to eliminate this full-time golf coordinator supervisor and keep it as a seasonal employee.
Second that.
Second by Supervisor Frederick. Any discussion on that?
I'd like to add to that, Mr. Chairman. My whole point to this is, we're losing 90 days for this person. I don't think that that's going to make or break beads or ponies. So that's where I stand on my position.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor of basically keeping this position as a seasonal employee, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Aye.
No.
So the motion fails. Do the governance.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We'll move on. Reclassification of belt maintenance to mechanic supervisor, rep and honor.
It's a very similar move to what they did with an employee this year. If that's, this is a person at Brightdale.
That's basically what we did for what we did with the assistant greenskeeper, assistant superintendent position that Lori
Stanek
fills now. She was an hourly union employee. Put her in the non-rep role, so she is able to work those overtime hours, at least in the season when we need her. And this would be a similar kind of a move to have the golf course mechanic that really is at Brightondale use him more aggressively in the role that we're starting to use him in now to train seasonal folks, and him basically work at both shops and be the maintenance mechanic supervisor basically for the entire operation. I think that this is, well, I don't have the math on it, but I'm Jim.
That's $6,500.
And the pros?
What's that?
What are the pros?
The pros to it would be that you basically would have a guy that can now work, doesn't have to be punching the clock and working overtime when we do need him to come in on the weekends and so forth, or work additional hours if something breaks down. There's that piece of it, as well as now being able to use him formally as a supervisor to train other folks and schedule and kind of function as a full supervisor in that maintenance area, so he could start to groom some apprentice-type folks beneath him.
And he would take part of his own retirement. Being in this capacity, he would go to the position that pays part of their own retirement also.
Oh, that's right. Thanks, Vicki, because he's currently in the union. He's currently in the union, and their union contract goes through the end of 13, I believe.
12. Yeah, next year.
I think the parks and golf guys are 13. They're the longest one.
Yeah.
I believe it's 13.
Okay. I'm not certain of the year. I can't.
Oh, that's the one they just did this year, right?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Sorry.
So it's 13. And so he would be giving that up, so he comes under basically the same thing as the non-reps, where they start to contribute the 5.8%.
And that also helps us eliminate that one union, correct?
Right, there's only one union position then left in the golf operation at that point.
One left.
Yep. And it also reduces about $10,000 worth of overtime that he's gotten per year for the last several years. So it's actually a net positive for our payroll.
And we supported this on the other move because there was actual cost.
That's what I want to see in finance is the net differences changing from one position to the other, money-wise.
Any other discussion on this?
Which position are we on?
Golf maintenance to mechanic supervisor, rep to non-rep, the second one, under golf. On this little sheet here.
It's the third one.
Net budgetary impact if you were to consider the elimination of your overtime, which is approximately $20,000, you said?
$10,000
would be what?
Positive $3,500.
$3,500 increase.
3.5. No, decrease.
3.5.
Decrease.
Because of the overtime.
We'll have exact figures for the finance committee.
Any other discussion on that position? Move to approve by Supervisor Sutter. Second by Supervisor Gray. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Use the governance.
Aye.
51 of the proposed in-range adjustment for golf GM?
$5,100 brings the GM equal to the Dave Hassel. I don't know what Dave's job title is.
Dave's not technically, he is his subordinate, but it would at least correct the situation now where Dan makes roughly $5,000 less than the guy that he's supervising. And that's been in place for sure this year. I think it's been over a year we've made less than that. So it's basically to correct that.
And also, I mean, the course conditions were, you know, is why Dave was given his increase where, you know, the budget was why I was not. And really, I mean, I have direct supervision of Dave. I mean, Dave takes his direction from myself, you know, and you know, the golf course conditions are every bit as well as the budget under my jurisdiction, my authority, you know, and that's, you know, I give Dave a lot of direction, a lot of input, a lot of feedback on what we want to see happen at the golf course. So not only is the Dave the responsible for the golf course conditions, but I am also, and, you know, there's a lot of positive changes, you know, in the clubhouse as far as customer service, as far as, you know, having the things that we have now more, so much more updated than they were before I got here, and so there's a lot of different things, you know, besides just, you know, handling the finances as to what's happening at the golf courses.
You know, there's going to be, as there was last year, naturally difficulty on the county board floor with any increases for golf. Everybody's got to remember that. This is the friendliest room you're going to be in. Last year, it wasn't swallowed. I don't see it this year either, personally. There's way too much opposition to a business that's losing money. Everybody sees the conditions are better. I think that's why Mr. Hassel last year was given that that increase. Everyone sees that we're still losing money. So they're not going to look favorably on the golf GM getting a $5,100 raise. I knew this was probably coming. I'm sure that when Dan and Dave were hired, this was... In fact, it was. It was from the administration, from the county executive, it was something they were told they were going to get. And then the county board then screwed that up when we didn't go along with it. And I don't see the county board approving to go from this committee to that. You're going to have some big debate from, I can name the supervisors. I don't need to. Everyone knows who they're going to be. And the community is not going to support it. They're just not going to support it. And so you're going to see the supervisors not agree to it. You're going to have to come up with some better arguments. Anybody whose business is losing money doesn't get a raise. And I'll vote against it. It's going to be up to the rest of the county board. But I don't see it happening. Any discussion from any other committee?
Whether it be the golf or a different operation, and we've tackled this situation before where a supervisor, direct supervisor, supervising...
Stop right there. The sheriff makes $30,000 less than some deputies.
But the sheriff is an elected official.
Well,
I mean, that's another whole can of worms that we don't want to go into now.
Right.
But, I mean, we've corrected this situation before where there's a disparity in salaries. So, pinning it on, well, the golf course is losing money, really is not, I don't believe, the right argument to vote against this. I mean, it's a disparity issue more than anything. So,
if you took the job to run the golf course to make Kenosha County money, and you're not making money, you believe you deserve a raise.
I'm not saying that He was hired to reorganize the golf course, which he's doing, and he's in the process of doing. He's been doing it for the last 2 years.
Right.
Has the deficit gone down? Absolutely. Have the conditions of the course gotten better? Definitely. Is the clubhouse a much better place? Definitely. So yeah, he has accomplished what we've asked him to do. I mean, there are circumstances that sometimes stand in your way in order to be able to accomplish the goal of getting us square or getting us even. But we've certainly come a long way. And I don't think that people should be punished for...
Well, no one's punished. I've been an advocate for this golf course for years. No one's punished anyone. But we've taken a beating as a committee and as the chairman of this committee on the golf course. And last year we were told by the county board blatantly there's going to be no raises for anybody in golf until we start making money. And I personally don't think it's ever going to happen. Not anymore. Not in this society. County golf course is not going to turn a profit. So, I mean, you're going to have to get a lot of allies. And I'm not against this. I'm just saying, in reality, on the county board floor, and to the taxpayers of Kenosha County, you've got to come up with a logical reason, and not because he makes less than a subordinate. Because there's all kind of people that make less than subordinates.
I don't believe that we have other people in the county.
Maybe not the county. In the real world, there is. I've had truck drivers make more than me.
Well, of course, but we're talking about the county. I'm not talking about truck drivers.
Well,
I'm talking about Kenosha County.
I'm talking about the world that everyone else lives in.
Well.
Any other discussion?
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve it.
Second.
Any discussion on that motion?
What's that motion on?
To approve the raise.
Okay.
Yeah. Any discussion?
Supervisor
Bowen. I'm a subordinate at this time. I may not, depending on where the golf ends up, I may not support it overall. But I'm okay with the raise if we can do something else bigger, take an item with golf and bring it in line. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Supervisor Hunter.
You've accomplished most of the goals you set out to, that you were told by the county executive when you were hired. That's why I'm going to vote to approve the raise.
My comment is, you know, I didn't support Dave Hassel's increase last year on the county board floor. Because I can't support any raise, I guess, to an institution that loses money. So I didn't support that. And I didn't support
anything else? No. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
No. Motion carries. Who's the governor?
No.
So we'll move on.
Back to the sheet?
Yes.
Okay, golf. Increase, decrease in payroll. There's a decrease in payroll going from the 2011 budget to the 2012 budget of $100,000.
Is it parks?
No, we're still
on golf.
We just started.
We're on golf.
We just started golf.
Yeah, we just got to the FTE part.
That was our part this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a decrease in retirement, $47,000 retirement expenses. Increase in unemployment, the 2010 budget, or excuse me, the 2011 budget, I think was low. It was budgeted at about $75,000. It was much higher than that, the actuals the year before. I think we just missed it a little. So we jacked that back up to about $90,000. So there's an increase from year to year.
If I can add, you know, one of the big things that happened with the unemployment this year was, you know, we held off a lot of people, a lot of employees, a lot of seasonals all spring long while we had poor weather, and that's really kind of what jacked up the unemployment.
So what is your increase to $90,000?
The budget was, I can tell you, it was around, it's in the book, $75,000, and we put it up to $90,000.
Unemployment.
And where is that employment in the budget book then?
$750.
That is on page 67.
Yeah.
Looks like the last line in that first grouping of accounts, 51580.
So was that 73 from the 90?
Yeah.
How many employees is that covering?
There's a lot of them.
There's about 90 employees that work in golf. Yeah. About 5 of them are full-time, so about 85 employees, I believe.
Is that right? I could count them up, but it's a lot. It's more than a full page of typing, because we track comparison year to year by person. I'd say that's a good number, 70 to 80 people.
Full-time?
There's Tom O'Day, Rich Heinisch, Dave Hassel, myself, Laurie Stanek.
That's it? And you've got another 85 employees?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are food and beverage. Now, they might not get unemployment, but...
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Let me look. I'm gonna see if I have that here.
What's our balance in our account?
I'm sorry, balance in which account?
Unemployment.
The expense account, what we're spending here, or?
Not what we're spending. You get a payout just like I do, what I owe the state of Wisconsin.
I don't know what that figure is. That's calculated by somebody in another, unless I'm misunderstanding your question.
Okay, what I'm getting at here is, you say we ran into trouble, so is our account in the negative?
Oh, the line item. Okay.
No, I'm talking about our...
Yeah, we're over it for this year.
Our account?
Yeah.
Well, we're over.
Yeah.
Our account with the state of Wisconsin is what I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that question.
That's a grand total that's done by the personnel department.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We have to get that figure from personnel.
Okay, but you two put this budget together, correct?
Not that number. Mm-hmm. That number is given to us.
No.
The unemployment number?
Okay.
Yeah. So all the benefit numbers are given to the individual finance people by personnel department.
So what they're saying then is that we must have been in the negative for unemployment for golf.
Yes.
Or they're projecting it for this year to be in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Really?
That's my understanding.
The total unemployment expense in 2010 was $103,000.
For golf.
The budget for 11 was $72,000. So they were budgeting a $30,000 decrease in unemployment. That didn't happen. Through September, we have spent in unemployment we're already at $73,900. So we're already over our whole budget for the year. Through September of 2010, we were at $69,000. So I think that budget was just low.
Yeah, or we're not handling that department properly. Because there's a certain amount of people, you might have 80 employees, but a certain amount of them won't even come close to qualify for unemployment. I guess that's a personnel problem. They handle all of that?
Yeah.
I know they've looked at options to get like our long-term seasonals, because I don't think the short-term seasonals would be eligible if they don't go back to school. But typically the short-term, the three-monthers end up going back to school, then they're not eligible. But all the seven-monthers, nine-monthers, those folks that are either working inside or outside, those folks would be eligible.
Oh, they would be, sure.
But what I know what the personnel department has looked at doing was where there are openings in the county, you know, if somebody's on pregnancy leave or accident sickness, if that person's qualified, they bring them back to work in that role so we can keep the unemployment down. Obviously, it hasn't been that successful.
I count 51 people that we paid unemployment to so far this year in golf on my list here.
51. So we would have paid that from January until, when did you get them back, April or something like that?
Yeah. And then there'll be some at the end of the year, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you, yes. If you look at 2010 actual in unemployment compensation, it was $103,511. So I have no idea why we budgeted.
No. In 2009, it was $102,600. So there was a 2009-2010.
Right.
All I can figure is that they must have thought that they could have either found work for those people to do, maybe in highway, or some other place, something to keep them busy. Because I'm sure that they had a reason for doing
right.
that. I don't know if Vicki remembers or not, but...
So is this 90 going to be enough then? Yeah. Apparently not. I mean, if we're going by historical numbers.
Not sure.
No.
Well, if I can, I know a couple things. We have had employees go to the courts. We've had them go to the sheriff's department and work, so we are trying to find more jobs for them within the county. I have tried to fight some unemployment situations and got totally denied. I just can't believe people walked off the job. People were dismissed, you know, for legitimate reasons, and they, you know, still were provided unemployment, which is just unbelievable to me. And you know, we've had, you know, with the federal government and with the unemployment situation that what it has been, and doing all the benefit extensions, we've been hit by that too. You know, so that is another problem that you know, hopefully we see the end of, you know, sooner than later. You know, so it's really it's some of the extensions. Is
yeah, I don't think you're going to see that problem come to an end anytime soon. I mean, only business companies, small business owners, and myself, I'm getting special assessment bills that I got to pay to the state because the state's out of money. And they borrowed money from the feds, and they got to pay the interest back. So my business, and I have nobody on the plane, you know, so I'm writing checks to the state. Because, you know what I mean? I don't think you're going to, I think it's wishful thinking, but that's going to be out.
If I may, one of the other problems is, you know, when I did come in, you know, there was a pretty high turnover, you know, and hopefully some of that is down now too. I know that there's been people collecting for a year and a half on unemployment. Just unbelievable that you know, they walk off the job and they still collecting a year and a half later of unemployment. So, you know, with the high turnover that we had with the switch of management, hopefully that problem lessons.
If they walk off the job and you contest it, there's no way they collect unemployment.
It's happened. I contested it. They sent me all kinds of emails. I sent them back everything that happened. We talked on the phone. They still allowed it.
I can believe that.
I've never lost one. I've been doing it for 41 years. I've never lost one. If somebody walked off the job, I've never lost that. Not once.
I can get information from you on where they got their number and if any of those.
Yeah,
because what Dan's saying is true. I know of an instance where somebody walked off the job and we're paying them unemployment here.
Yeah, I can see one person, but he's saying that there's numerous.
I know of one that did that, but then there's others that we let go for legitimate reasons and they collected unemployment.
If you let them go, that's different. You may pay them.
Yeah.
That's part of your job.
Right.
I mean, bottom line, as the boss of this division.
Right.
So when it gets to talking about this other, you know, and I'm not saying this flippantly, that's part of my job, to try to keep my business surviving so that my employees have a job.
It was for theft. That person was let go for theft.
Right. So
and they're still collecting.
So if I'm not keeping Ellerman Landscapes above water, losing unemployment claims, and other little tiny things that take a business down, believe me, there's tiny things that take a business down. We don't have the support of Kenosha County, the rest of us that run little businesses in Kenosha County. So these are the little items that we expect you to be able to do and not say, I got a guy collecting unemployment. He shouldn't be. It's your job, but he doesn't collect unemployment. That's the kind of thing we're asking you to do. And then Supervisor Gentz made a motion to approve a raise for.
I will look into that and get back to you. Where are we on?
Unemployment. $90,000.
Workers' comp is another number that will go up about $2,700. Again, that's a personnel department number for both years. FICA will go down basically because the payroll's going down. Increase in contracted services has to do primarily with, we have to pay increased golf cart maintenance. We didn't have to pay in the first year that we had the golf carts. There's $500 there in machinery and equipment. That's an account where we put in things like string trimmers, and there's a $500. Increase in fuel is based on average usage. I think we talked about this before. Utilities will go down primarily because there's a case where I think the budget was a little high in the prior years. We're not going to spend what is in the budget this year. Through September, we are at the numbers in the book only go through June. We updated our numbers through September, make them a little. We're at about 62,000. We're approximately, the annual budget for this year is 95,000 for utilities. And in prior years, we only spent 88,000 in 2010 and 80,000 in 2009. So we're just dropping that down a little bit for next year. Increase in advertising expenses to hopefully boost our revenues. Decrease in sales tax really is a result of last year's over budgeted revenues. I'll explain that in just a second, but that's sales tax is tied to revenues.
Right, so you've got a decrease of 13,000.
Yeah. But we got a decrease in revenues of $150,000. Revenues for last year, just for the golf greens fees, were budgeted at $2,500,000 for 2011. That was a green fee budget. In 2010, we had income of $2,261,000. So let's just say $2,300,000. In the year before that, in 2009, it was $2,200,000. So next, the year after that, this year, we budgeted $2,500,000. Too high. Sales tax is based on that. This year's forecast is about $2,250,000.
That's where we think we're headed.
Yeah, it's going to be very similar to where we were at last year, and we still got a little ways to go. We need a good October and November just to get there. This is just greens fees.
We used to do 3.5.
I don't know what the number was. But next year's budget is 2355, which is about a $130,000 increase over where we're at this year, and still lower than the 2011 budget. And I'll tell you something else. I've gone back and done research on, and I don't know what the number was in 2004. Our 2012 budget is almost exactly the same as what we had for revenues. In 2004 and 2012 are almost exactly the same. And for salaries and benefits, the numbers are the same also, compared from 2004 to 2012. That increase in expenses has all been in the middle part, the maintenance and all those kind of things. So labor isn't really where we spent the money. Revenue's flat, and it just costs more in fuel and overall maintenance expenses to bring the course back up to where it, or increase the conditions there.
And we were at one point over $3 million.
Really?
We may feel like we've dropped our expenses, but in reality, we haven't found enough. We were making a profit. what you do in the business world is you continue to make a profit. You find ways to make that profit. You don't just give in and say, well, it's bad, weather's horrible, this is bad, economy's no good. We're not going to make any money, but we're going to continue to operate. People are telling us different now. And in the last 5 years, much different is coming from constituents to us. And people know that I've been involved with the parks and golf for 17 years, 18 years. And they never used to come to me in a bad way. Now they're beginning to in the last couple of years. And you're going to see it. The county board floor. I mean, it's okay to look at this and to say, well, we're where we were in 2004. That's not acceptable to anybody. I know that it's your job. You got to come up with these numbers. But, I mean, it's not a number that people are going to accept in their world.
Well, I'm not trying to justify what it is or not, or definitely opine on what it should be. But the fact is, revenues have not changed in 6 or 7 years. Payroll hasn't changed in 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
The other expenses have. We understand that's not acceptable. Some of the things that we're suggesting here, though, hopefully to lift revenues. If you have a $200,000 increase in revenues, the golf courses make money, right? Given everything else. So increases in advertising and some of these other things were just put in, the way they explain it to me, to help try to lift up revenues.
But I think what isn't understood by the people running the golf course, the whole business plan is what it takes to make $1,000. It's huge to make $1,000. In my business, it takes about a week to make $1,000. That's your gross. You know, and if the weather's bad, and you have a in a small business like mine, a $960 a day expense. And 2 weeks ago we lost 4 days. Still have that expense. So do we at the golf team.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear constant excuses about the weather. Well, join the club. Everybody that works, any farmer, everybody that works outside, we all have that. So it's not that we're looking to beat up on anyone. But we've got to find a way to cut expenses at the golf course. Because you can make that money, but you've got to cut your expenses. Because everyone in business has found a way in this bad economy that's still in business to cut their expenses, or they will still be in business. I mean, that's what the public is asking Kenosha County to do. Kenosha County's not listening. We're getting raises today.
I totally agree with what you just said, 100%.
So we'll move on. I'll put your technology in.
Decrease inventory purchases is to keep spend a little bit less on inventory. Decrease in other operating supplies. Those are the supplies we use to maintain a golf course. It's a big number. And we plan to spend less next year on fertilizers. And it's taken some time to increase the course quality, and we ought to be able to maintain it and spend a little bit less money. The decrease in golf revenues is the change in the budget from $2.5 million last year down to $2.3 million this year.
$2,350,000. Yeah, I believe I know the answer to this. So you're telling me this year we lost another $150,000 from last year's gross revenue, correct? We're down?
No, what that means is the 2011 budget for greens fees revenues was $2,500,000. The greens fees revenue budget for this year is $2,350,000. So it's $150,000 more conservative.
Okay. Then. You were $150,000 heavy last year, that's what you're saying.
Correct.
A little more conservative. Thank you.
Golf capital, page 71. top part of the page is the items underneath, the individual items underneath $25,000. They total up to $76,000. And then there's three items that are above the $25,000 threshold and are part of the five-year CIP plan.
Sorry, I didn't...
Rotary blade grinder.
Mm-hmm.
What is that for you?
That's for sharpening the mowers. We have one currently, but it is not efficient anymore, so that's to replace another rotary blade grinder so that we have a better quality cut and the machinery is more efficient.
Just bunker renovation. What is that?
There's
a one bunker, 5,000, or a bunch of them.
It's to take out a bunker on number 4 at Petrifying Springs. It's short and right of the green, and to get that area to be without that bunker. It's going to take some earthwork and to fill it in and make that property look natural there. So it's for one bunker at Petrified.
There's something you contract out for.
Mm-hmm.
What's the benefit of the bunker renovation?
The benefit of that is less maintenance. Bunkers are the second most expensive feature on the golf course to maintain, and it's also not necessary where it is. I mean, it penalizes the wrong player. Those people that hit it short right usually slice and make it more natural, and so it'll pick up the speed of play. One of the biggest complaints about Petrifying Springs is that it's slow play, especially the first five holes, and that should help with that.
That's at Petrifying Springs. Any other questions?
Are any of these essential to happen this year? Like, if you didn't do them this year, they would fall apart. Is that, I'm just curious, as far as the need is spent, maybe 100,000 this year, citizen comments?
The ice machines are definitely falling apart at Wrightondale. The roof at the Pets Maintenance Building is leaking, so that definitely needs to be replaced. The golf course irrigation, the big one, 400,000, that one for sure is costing us about $150,000 a year in no value added. So definitely that has to happen. The mowers are way past their useful life. Jim did a aging report on all of our equipment, and many things are well past their useful life. And the paving of the cart paths, that's the biggest complaint that we have at Wrightondale from our guests of, what is wrong with that facility.
I'll just make a comment on the paving of the cart paths. We did a study on payback. Paving the cart paths, they have a useful life of 15 to 20 years, and the payback's 9.5 years.
Is this money on the paving for this future year being spent with our own highway department?
That's the blue 9.
18.
Our blue 18 at Wrightondale.
Mr. Chairman. Question, can you comment on the small pickup truck at Wrightondale? Do we not have one there now? Is this where we're buying a new pickup truck? Can you enlighten on that a little bit?
We do not have a small pickup truck at Wrightondale. We have a 3/4 ton that gets about 9 miles to the gallon, and Dave Hassel is running back and forth to the golf courses, between the golf courses, spending a lot of time and to decrease that fuel usage we would like to get a Colorado or something that is much more fuel efficient.
Follow-up on you know, we don't like to buy things brand new, but you and I know when you guys come off a short lot, you get depreciation right there. As soon as it goes out the door, you're 10, 15, maybe 20% less. Supervisor over and I are a small business. If I had to buy a small truck for my business, in this current time, I'd be looking at something used. Have you seen, why can't I buy something? A year or two old, it says it's been $24,000 to buy something nice for $15. So is that looking at your account?
Yes.
The purchasing department, the biggest struggle there is right now, everyone, every time we buy something used, we have to go through a full county board, single source type thing for it, even for the small items. So they're working on changing that, though. And the only other thing I'll say is that I've seen the stuff when we buy it off the state bid list, the pricing's pretty incredible relative to what you pay retail, even with a deal from a, you know, with rebates and stuff. Like that three-quarter, I don't know what this... You know, I don't know exactly what was used for this particular estimate, but I know, like, on the vehicle that John got this year, that vehicle, if you go, because I looked at one with my mom just this weekend, what we paid $22,000 in change for is, to Joe Q Public, the same vehicle is $30,000 because we buy it off the state bid list. So a lot of times what the pricing you can get on that is really cost-effective. That said, we'd still like to do more used vehicles, and I'm hoping purchasing can get whatever legal hoops they have to get so that we can efficiently purchase used vehicles or purchase them at auction or whatever.
So how far along the pipeline is that?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I know that Carol O'Neill is spearheading that, and we've been the ones that have pushed for it, actually, because we could use it, actually, in facilities. It's come up. It's come up in all the – that there's many times where we'd like to buy stuff off auction or use because we can get – for what our purpose is, we don't need a brand-new vehicle.
Better yet, is there any trucks, Mr. Schiffman, in highways that you guys could use a small truck? I mean, until we figure this out and buy a used one?
Yep.
I mean, have you looked into that?
Yeah, we are starting to do... We are starting to do that, where we swap out, as opposed to getting a brand-new vehicle in facilities. Let's see, we rotate... We might bring one new vehicle in and then trade... put the older vehicle into another department. In fact, I think there's one in here this year where we're buying it for parks, but it's actually going to get used by facilities in the wintertime. It's going to be shared because the facilities vehicles, or mainly the facilities vehicles, are the ones that golf to some extent, but facilities more so. The vehicles rot before they get wore out. They'll have 30,000 miles on them. They'll be 15 years old.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying in this particular case, is there any vehicle that we can switch a smaller vehicle in public works for this three-quarter ton and then we don't have to spend $24,000 on a new Colorado until Carol O'Neill gets this ironed out and maybe we can buy a used one? That's all I'm asking.
The only small vehicle we've got, because we're just started making that move to small vehicles like in the last couple of years, other than that it was always standard three-quarter ton 4x4 pickups. That was what was ordered. John's got a small vehicle now. Dan's got a smaller vehicle. There is one Colorado in parks right now.
And a Ranger.
And a Ranger. That's right. We got Nick a Ranger this year. So we're downsizing. And so we're creating that pool of vehicles now. Gary, I don't think you've got a small pickup in highways. They're all full-size pickups because it all goes back to kind of how. So we're trying to downsize and get more fuel efficient with the vehicles. So going forward, we should have vehicles that we can start to rotate into these lower use vehicles. With more fuel-efficient vehicles. That's what we're trying to do.
What are we doing? There was a couple of that we bought from parks last year that were full-size pickups.
Yeah, they're still full-size pickups that we use for the working. It's just the supervisors. Like Nick.
Nick's got a little one now.
He's got a little one now.
There was a full-size brand-new one sat there all summer. Never used, never driven.
This past year?
Yes. This current year.
Is there a new full-size one that we picked up this year?
Yep, and Nick used that if he had to haul stuff or pull stuff, but then he parked it there at night at the Ranger home.
Okay, I thought there was two of them there. Yeah. We don't have two of them?
Two new ones?
Yeah. Didn't have a name on them or anything.
I know you just put a new intake manifold in.
I'm sure there's a
seal.
Intake 105, that's what was it, 19.
We still got in parks. We still got our fair share of.
Yeah.
Oh, there's all.
I got two new trucks at Fox River, but one of them was a Ranger.
Okay. There was one that sat there all year, never moved.
We parked the one right in the same spot every night, right? Are you talking right on the west side of the shop?
Yep.
Yep. That's where it parks at night.
Oh, no, up by the house. But that doesn't make any difference. I thought maybe we had an extra truck, because that truck was there.
In the winter, once all the seasonals are gone,
yeah. You
know, a few of our pickups sit. But in the summer, we might actually go in short of vehicles and parks.
Oh, I'm sure.
We scramble around.
But there was a four-wheel drive pickup that was didn't seem like we were using.
Was that four?
It was a four.
Four. Yeah. Have you that one from last year, John? Yeah. Four four-wheel drives, of course.
Ray, you know, going with a smaller vehicle, these three-quarter ton that we have now that we have zeroed that on, I'm assuming, you know, gas mileage, I get the gas mileage thing. Can you ballpark me what you think you're going to save? I mean, you're going to save $2,000 a year, you're going to save $3,000 a year going with a smaller vehicle? I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around how many miles do you guys travel? You know what I mean? Is it going to be a significant increase? Because who knows, next year gas might be $4.50 a gallon. Might be $2.50 a gallon. But you got to give me an idea.
So how many miles Dave's got on that vehicle?
I think he puts it like 20 to 25,000 a year. And if we double the gas mileage, even if we get 20 instead of 9, you know, I mean, you know, that's what we're looking at.
Does he drive that home?
Mm-hmm.
Water sample for that?
That vehicle will be used for water sample, yes.
This was one.
It's three in the winter and five in the summer, right, John?
What's that?
Water samples?
Yeah. Well, we addressed water samples last year with a new vehicle. We went through the same conversation where you needed a better mileage vehicle. I thought we addressed it.
We kept my old Lumina that I got the first, but it died. It's dead.
That went to auction, I think.
Yep, it's already to auction.
That was it, was to use that vehicle for that. Yep. Till it died.
So all you guys have a vehicle you drive home? At Mark or Dalton?
No, just Dave and I.
Any other questions, thoughts?
On this page 71, Mr. Chairman, we take a look at our golf course restoration irrigation. With the capital improvement schedule for this budgetary cycle, where does that put us in the entire renovation project mention we're talking about?
What's proposed is in that $400,000 is to rework irrigation that was put in the ground in the original 27 holes. It's just going to do mainline piping and irrigation heads and green and tea irrigation. We're looking mostly at the white back with the conversations and the decisions that you guys will be making about the red nine and other things moving forward. We are going to concentrate on areas that we feel will not, you know, close, you know, under any circumstances, you know, as long as we keep the golf courses open. We're looking at the back white, and it's just doing mainline piping and the green and tea and head irrigation
so
there.
So is this going to now come off the mains that were laid between the white and the blue? This is not going to be off to them irrigation?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Any other discussion on golf? Golf operation. Okay, so we've made no changes to the golf operation budget. Correct?
At this point.
No changes in the recommendation. All right. Move on to parks.
Parks in the book. It starts on page 74. 73. There is a decrease in, I guess we've eliminated a rep position this year, the way I understand it, there was a Mr. Zerovi and Mr. Ranchel were both rep positions. Mr. Zerovi retired. Is that the other way?
No, Mr. Zerovi was a foreman that retired.
Yeah.
Mr. Ranchel was a representative employee that was promoted into his spot, and then Joe's position was converted into a seasonal.
It was backfilled by seasonal hours.
Yeah, there was. We didn't fill that position with the union position.
But on an hours basis, on a full-time equivalent, there is an increase in of 1.27 people, and part of it is we had to increase KD Park maintenance for next year, and then there's a Linden's job was not in last year's budget, but it's in this year's budget, and the others are just seasonal hours. And the payroll, despite that one FTE headcount, the payroll dollars will go down for the Parks Department. So we're getting more hours but paying less per hour.
What's the increase for the KD Park? What's that amount?
Where's the what?
The increase for the KD Park payment.
It was just like an extra half a body hours for maintenance for the West End, anticipating that they'll have to do more maintenance out there next year than we did plan for this year.
Does the park be busier?
No, right?
It's just a seasonal position that they plugged in for a half, just figured a half a body, just anticipating that we're going to have to do a little bit more out there next year than what we had to do this year. That's all it is.
What does that mean? Do what?
What maintenance have you got specifically figured in for next year for the KD Park that we didn't do this year?
Well, we were kind of figuring on the hours being open.
The park being open more?
Just having to make a run out there every day and pick up trash. Just, that's about it.
So, has there been conversation about the park being open more? Is that what you're saying?
We talk about it, but nobody, there's been no decision made on it.
I haven't had that conversation with the exec. Yeah, I haven't had that conversation.
Okay, let's go on.
Okay. There'll be a decrease in retirement expenses there, $39,000. And medical insurance is flat. Workers' comp, $8,200 increase. FICA is up $1,600. All I can figure is there must have been a, because this is budget to budget. Last year's budget must have been a little low on FICA, or else the calculation this year is a little high. Decrease in contracted services. In 2011, there was the sewer pack plan that you guys have been listening to, the park planning. We won't have that next year. Increase in contracted services. I'll just give you a rundown of what goes in there.
The dam inspections are 5,000 every other year now, starting with 2010.
There's a pump service for the Pets lift station. Yeah, looks like that begins next year.
It's going to be a yearly one.
Yeah, that's a new one. That's $1,400. What goes in there? The biggest item that goes into that $39,000 is you have to pay $19,000 for the snowmobile trail. We pay for sewage is that the city of Burlington for the sewage plant and the beach water testing. Fire extinguisher services, oil removal, trash pickup, revenue pickup from the parks, pump service, dam inspections, well water testing. So there's a whole litany of things that go in there. Inc-
increase in machinery and equipment under $5,000. That is where we put lifeguard equipment such as buoys, ropes, floats, rescue equipment, chainsaw, string trimmers, push mowers. I think probably the biggest item in there for the increase is a trailer. The trailer is budgeted at $3,500. There's also another lift in there, a portable lift, so you can put pickup trucks or riding mowers on it to improve service. Utilities were budgeting up a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry, decrease in major repairs. In 2000, that's a big one. We had to fix the Pringle roof, and what was the other?
The Kemper chimney.
Kemper chimney, yeah. So that was in this year's budget. We don't have anything like that in next year's budget. I'm sorry, I passed over the fuel again. That's based on their usage. I'm going to take their fuel budget up from 41,000 to 54,000. They've already spent through 9 months 44,000. We've already overspent the budget after 9 months. Decrease in inventory purchases. We shouldn't have to support the. We had for part of the year support the concession stand. So that we took that out of the budget for next year. And all the other changes add up to a decrease of $1,100. So that levy goes down $45,000. Again, besides payroll and retirement, the big decrease is that we don't have the sewer pack study and we don't have the major repairs. And the capital for parks is on page 81. There's some smaller items under 25,000. Those are the first numbers. Picnic tables and barbecue grills. Then the larger numbers, there's the Kemper Center capital of 50,000, which is really money that we've been paying out for how long to them? Help support? That's a regular.
Not that long. There was a time that it was more, but there was a time
been
that we
cut
took
down.
It down yes. to 10. There was a time it was zero, yeah. And now we've just, the last 4 years or so, went back to 50, maybe five.
Yeah. Okay. Playground equipment is 50,000. The way we have that scheduled, they're finishing some stuff up at Pets. Then the next spending is at Paddock Lake. And then Fox River, yeah. There's a tractor that we'd like to purchase for cutting or mowing the bike trails. And then there's a one-ton truck with attachments. This is the one, Ray, you were talking about?
This is the one that is actually going to be split between facilities and parks so that in wintertime, Raleigh uses it down at the job center, I believe, because that truck's completely toast, and then you guys will use it in the summertime.
Any questions? Capital outlay portion.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to go through the summary sheet. We're taking a look at the decrease in other professional services, $25,000. Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah.
So it's 1.27 FTEs over 20 hours, right?
2010 to 2011, yes. 2011 to 2012, yes.
One of the FTEs, one half of the FTEs, is associated with Katy Park. And you make some reference to the remainder of the FTE fractions were due to seasonals, am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, it's all on page, let's see, 74. There's a description there of all those various different types of seasonal people where there was little increases in several of the categories.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ray, I got a question. You know, on this 50,000 10% capital, or John, I know this question is to you. Do we use all this 50,000 every year?
Do they?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes. What do they use this for?
They use it for building repairs and other things down there. I know they were using the money this year for painting inside the convention center. And
I guess it's my question is, because they got 50, do they say, we got to burn 50? Do you know, can you follow what I'm coming from on that?
I hear you, but they spend it all on the buildings, on repairs and things they need down there. Yes, every year.
They could use 450.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I mean, they'd like to good use.
550.
Yeah. Place falls apart.
Well, follow up on this. At one time, there was a mandate, I think it was overruled, that county contribution had to go towards bricks and mortar capital improvements, not to be used for any operational expenses. Where are we with that currently?
I believe
we still have that in the language.
This has to be because this is bonded money. So it has to be used for capital. It can only be used for capital expenditures. It can't be used for subsidizing the operations.
So when we get our reports back from the group that is charged back, do we actually see those expenditures being documented as being capital expenditures not being used for operational things?
We don't get a report for them like we do from Pringle.
No.
We've asked for one now this last year. We asked for a capital improvement plan so we could kind of see going forward. If we want them to put together a SIP plan like we've got, you know, it shows kind of 5 years where they want to spend the money. But I haven't seen that.
No,
I don't think that we've
gotten
that.
Do you report from them regularly?
What's that?
Do you get a report from them regularly by
Kemper?
No. I don't think they're in regularly.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this, but that's with an annual report of what this capital outlay, this money goes to quarterly. Quarterly update of where this capital money's going to. I mean, I just can't see, well, because we've done it every year, we're going to keep doing it. And if it's not going to what we think it should be going to, then where's it going? Nobody knows where it's going. You can't sit from me across from me and tell me that it is a cat law. You know what I mean? So I would make a motion to change that in this part of the motion, if I can.
Yeah, motion is blown. We'll make a recommendation with my office. This will go to the county board. Motion is made to ask for a quarterly report on the capital improvements from the Seconded. Any discussion on that?
None.
All those in favor of that recommendation, say aye.
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 Opposed? Excuse the governor.
Aye.
Motion carries. So that would be a recommendation of the Finance Committee that would be on the Kemper Center portion of the capital improvement. Supervisor Federer.
On the bottom of page 79, there is a proposed $20,000 a donation to the dog park. This year we've done it says at 6:30, 6,000 and projected zero.
Yeah, let me comment on that. I should have brought that up. Good catch.
The dog park, there's $20,000 worth of expenses and $20,000 worth of revenue on the bottom page, at the bottom of the next page. That's what we're planning on to spend and what we're planning to take in for fees. I think it was the same thing this year. Yeah, it's $20,000 this year. Yeah, it should pay for itself. Yeah, that is not in any of these other numbers. $20,000 expense, $20,000 revenue for the dog parks.
Do we have a fund number here that was supposed to be this way originally set up that actually is paying our workers that go there from the dog park committee? Because what's supposed to originally, we weren't supposed to be paying. I hope Parks Department wasn't supposed to be paying. We're supposed to get paid, excuse me, to do this maintenance. When we go mow, when we go do anything, there was all part of an account set up from the committee that built the dog parks and all the donations and things.
Yeah, I know that I believe it's this account that actually any of the donations or fees, I think you guys are putting that all in one pot.
Right.
Now, as far as what's getting charged to it, I don't know that. Do our actual maintenance guys get charged?
We don't charge more.
No, we don't charge that.
Yeah. Just any repairs that we do over there, poop bags, signs. I know we need to put in some ADA sidewalks and stuff. At the one at Carlisle at Pennine Springs. Just right now, no.
That's the way it was promised to the people, and that's how it was set up. That was only a couple of years ago that we did all this. And it wasn't supposed to cost taxpayers anything. This was self-sufficient.
Yeah, I know that all the materials, as John said, as far as the labor, I know, like with Old Settlers, like we were mowing it before with maintenance guys, so now whether you're mowing it for the dogs or you're mowing it for the guys that used it before.
Well, that's all understandable.
Kinda.
But you say you do charge materials? Like you put a shelter up at Bassett.
Right, that came out of the dog park money.
That did?
Yes. And we just put in some tile line at Pets, all the gravel, all the materials for the tile line there to dry that out. It all came out of dog park accounts.
So they're charging all that stuff direct to it for materials.
Yeah, directly to it.
Because people keep checking on that stuff. We got to make sure that we keep up on that.
Again, we don't charge the mowing.
The other question on the dog parks is, I don't know what's happened. I haven't been one at Pets. Actually, I go by Old Settlers all the time. How about signage there? What's going on with that?
Signage for what kind of signage?
Well, we've got this discolored old thing at the one in Bassett that says the Warren Close Bark Park is now open. It was made by planning a developer. So you can't really read it. But I know that family donated quite a bit of money. I thought part of it was a sign.
Right. And they checked in. We gave them a bunch of different designs to pick from. And the Close family did pick one, and I was waiting. I have a dog park meeting tomorrow night, and I'm hoping Dr. Carlisle brings the design he's chosen with him, so I can take him to a few city companies and get quotes on them, have them made, because they're a little bit more elaborate than we can do with the router at Pets. So.
And that'll come out of that fund.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who did the sign at
Katie's
Park?
That was Gatewood. Yeah, Ewens did the sign, but it was Gatewood. Gateway that they ran that contest.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Who did the actual sign?
Ewens.
Jeff Ewens. Yeah, he's on
22nd.
Yeah.
Gateway had selected them because they kind of funded that whole thing. We didn't.
It's pretty hard to read. I don't know if you've been by it.
The little ones down below are. I think the main part of the sign up above is pretty legible, but it's not something you're going to read while you're driving past 55.
There's something practically wrong with the background and the letters. I was the first guy that said that. Somebody told me about it. I drove by. It's very hard to read.
Because there's not enough contrast?
Or too much, or there's something. The letters flash after the numbers. There's something not right with it. Maybe the change in the background color can fix it. I don't know.
See, I've only seen it at night. It looked good at night.
You're right about it. I mean, it's very fancy. Like,
yeah.
You just don't.
But it doesn't happen that during the day.
I didn't hear you follow up on Supervisor Oakley's comment. If there were any inquiries made, people want to know about the dog park accounts and so forth, we basically have a well documented enough that we can say that proceeds that the users of that dog park pay cover the expenses of the running of it, as far as the signage, as far as all that kind of stuff goes, that's all covered, is that correct?
Yeah.
We do a monthly report and track all that down. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Okay. Just one quick question on the bonding. On the bottom of the bonding, it says funded with $55,000 reserves and $152,000 bonded. That's one of the only ones I found where it's reserves. Is there a reason for that, or maybe you should know of?
I'm sorry, what page is that on?
81. I don't know why we just don't bond the whole thing. We normally bond this stuff.
I'm going to have to get back to you because I do know the answer, but I'm having a small case of some time or something where the reserve is.
Any other questions on this portion, the parks portion? So could I have a motion to tentatively approve sending this to Finance Committee pending information on the bonding on page 81?
Second.
Who would a second to approve tentatively? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Use the government.
Aye.
Curious. We'll move on.
That brings me a question. Did we actually tentatively approve the golf?
No, we argued about that for a long time.
I don't think we approved it.
Well, what we did was send some to a couple motions. Yeah. We'll move on to highways. This ought to be the easy one.
Highway budget starts on page 83. Want to talk about the FTE sheet first, or?
Sure, let's do that.
Same old thing. There's a proposed reclass of a highway foreman to a highway superintendent.
What does that do? Something that can add to it.
Yeah, just to give you a little background. In 2010, one of our patrol superintendents retired. At that time, at the beginning of 2010, we took the patrol superintendent duties, assigned them to one of the foremen. If you recall, about a year ago, I brought this same reclass to this committee during the budget hearings, and I was told if the timing wasn't right to make those type of changes and to bring it back. 2011, which hasn't happened until now. But basically, the highway foreman has been doing the patrol superintendent duties for about a year and 9 months now, and I just thought it was appropriate to make that change after all that time. In 2010, that also included the elimination of one of the management positions. A few years ago, we eliminated a shop foreman position, and then last year we eliminated, it was basically the patrol superintendent position. So we're down from six management positions to four, this reclass would just really appropriate time to make that change.
So we wouldn't be adding it?
We're not adding any person. It's just a reclassification.
There's no, I mean, there's no monetary increase in value. I mean, we're not paying more money out to reclass this, or we not?
I don't know what the dollar amount is. I submit these to the personnel department who does an evaluation, and I don't know what the result of that evaluation is.
We got $4,274.
$4,274. More a year. That's what they're getting. They're getting a raise.
I just wanted to add that 50% of that patrol superintendent's position is funded by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, because the one of the primary duties of a patrol superintendent is to supervise services we provide for the state. And in fact, this position that we're talking about tonight is responsible for all of the maintenance on I-94.
Back on my question, so really it's only costing the county $2,132.
Correct.
Thank you.
You better get it.
You heard that, Mr. Cuffer, is that right?
I think it's off like $10. You asked. I wasn't going to bring it up.
Gary, you said that you're down from 6 supervisors to 4. Over what time period is that accomplished?
The shop super shop foreman was eliminated a number of years ago. And it was between 5 and 10 years. I'm not even sure anymore. But the other management employee was eliminated in 2010.
Thank you. That's my question.
Any other questions?
I have one more question. With this reclass, Gary, is this, I mean, are you going to get more production out of this highway superintendent as you work versus a highway foreman? I mean, are they doing more things, or is it just the same, he's doing the same thing, and you're just giving him a different title?
No, the responsibility, the responsibility is much greater given the type of work that he's responsible for. For example, the maintenance of I-94 is a much higher level of responsibility. Plus, the patrol superintendent is the direct supervisor of the highway foreman positions, the remaining two highway foreman positions. So, if not, both superintendents would share those duties, but it's a much higher level of responsibility than just the highway.
And we have somebody doing this now. Right?
Correct.
You just want to change your title.
Correct.
Any other discussion?
Just to carry on with the names here, page 85, Director of the Division of Highways, I assume that's Mr. Simpson, is that correct?
Yes.
We fill the blank for Public Works Assistant.
That's Vicki Galich, of which we'll talk about in a second. That's number 2 item on that. Patrol Superintendent currently, Bill Shanning, is the Patrol Superintendent. If in fact the proposed reclass is approved that we are talking about now, I would propose to have Glenn Fenske fill that position. And then the highway foremen are Ken Hedges and Randy Teodoro. Remainder of those positions are in the maintenance area.
Any other questions or discussion? Anybody want to make a motion one way or another on this?
I'll make such a motion to accept this portion of the budget.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Who would have seconded to approve the reclass highway foreman to highway superintendent. Send that recommendation or agreement to the plan. We all in favor of that?
Aye.
Opposed? Use the governance?
Aye.
Title change, business manager, public works assistant.
Basically, that one, if you look at the two areas, the administrative area on page 84, there's that administrative area at the top that shows the number going from 6 to 7, and the addition of the public works assistant is right in the middle there. And then in the finance area down below, the manager of fiscal services goes from 1 to 0. So the net effect is that we're not adding anybody. We're just changing the role and responsibility of Vicki to really punch up more of the administrative support to the public works area. Initially, it's going to be Gary and John because of the number of projects and grant-funded projects and all of the stuff that goes with keeping those things on track. Got to be honest, we have had some things slip through the cracks, some administrative details, and changing Vicki's focus from more of a financial bent to an administrative support function for those kind of things is going to be a lot better now that we've got Jim on board and really, you know, fully stepping into the fiscal role on things. So it just is, I mean, Gary can speak to it as far as his specific situation, and John can as well, but the bottom line is I think those two guys are going to be the areas using it the most. Over time, she may provide additional support to Frank and Ron and Dan as well, but initially, there's so many projects going on in those two areas right now, that's where the primary areas of support are going to be. Like I said, Gary or John wants to...
Yeah, I think Gary, what Ray said, that we are desperately need some administrative support, particularly with the projects that were completed, but also with all the highway-related policies and complying with all the new state and federal mandates that are involved in highways. It's just, I personally am in desperate need of administrative assistance, and so it's a little bit of a change of focus of what Vicki would be doing, and if there's no impact to the budget with this change in title.
Second to approve. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Do the government.
Aye.
She couldn't hear who made the motion.
It was a secret. Supervisor Frederick. Seconded by Supervisor Esposito. Rate adjustment for Highway 4.
2211. Excuse me. 2,200. It's not 2211, is it? No. $2,211.
We have three foremen now. We'll have two with the change to the reclass to the patrol superintendent. The two foremen that are remaining, one has been here for 16 years, one has been here for 11 years. Their duties are identical in just about every respect. We do specialize in some areas, but basically their duties and responsibilities are the same. Like I said, 16 years, 11 years, but the difference in salary between the two is $5,267 a year, so there's a pretty big gap between the two foremen. I asked as part of this budget that the personnel department look at somehow closing that gap a little bit, and that was the result. We're not closing the whole 5,200 gap, but at least we're getting a little bit closer and equality for the salaries of the two foremen.
Any questions or discussion for Red Ray?
So this is an in-range adjustment for the lower salary person, is that correct?
Correct.
And this is the person with how many years of experience?
so the higher paid foreman obviously makes more money because he's been there longer. Is that correct?
Yes, because unfortunately, soon after the lower paid foreman was put into that position, the step increases were eliminated in the whole non-rep paid plan. So he's really, where the other foreman did receive the step increases, the second foreman, the lower paid foreman, never got those step increases. So that's why there's that.
Any other questions or discussion on this portion? Move by Supervisor Brady to send a favorable motion to finance.
I'll second.
Send by Supervisor Getz. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Use the governance?
Aye.
We'll move on.
Okay, I'm going to go back to this main one-page sheet, and we'll start working our way through the highway department. There will be a decrease in payroll going from the 2011 budget to the 2012 budget of $466,000. A big chunk of that is you have 14 people who will be hired at this new position of, I can't remember what we call that position, but they will be making approximately $10 an hour less than the people that were in the prior budget. And 14 people times $10 an hour times 2,000 hours is about $290,000. So that decrease just comes from that change. And along with that, we plan on having a reduction in overtime of $150,000. So those two numbers there alone equal about $440,000. I think there's also a small decrease in maybe a casual pay or vacation pay. But the primary amounts come from the new pay schedule that Gary's instituted and a plan to reduce overtime.
Okay. We're in about the sixth or seventh inning right now.
Hey, I'm going at your speed. I got on a computer here that and the Bear game too. So. No, really, I don't.
I was saying.
See? Yeah. Just about running out of juice. It's only got 7 minutes left.
I mean, I was just telling you, you could if you wanted to.
Okay. I can go a lot faster.
This is something that I think we've all looked through.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want me to keep going, or do you just want to ask questions about highway? There'll be a decrease in retirement, decrease in medical insurance. Retirement is because they have to contribute, not to their plan. Medical insurance, big chunk of that medical insurance for retirees has been transferred out of highway. Workers' comp is going to go up a little bit. FICA goes down because payroll goes down. Contracted services went down $15,000. I believe that's in center line striping.
Yeah, we've been through 2 years now contracting out the center line striping, and the bid results have been more favorable. We're comfortable in lowering that contractual services.
Vehicle parts and repairs will go down. I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit over the increase in machinery and equipment under $5,000. That'll go up by about $3,800. Vehicle parts and repairs will go down by $10,000. Fuel is the biggest number. That's a huge increase, but it's based on usage. And when I say $3.30 a gallon, we don't pay the state tax, so that's really what, $4 a gallon or $3.90 or something?
No, we do pay the state tax. We don't pay the federal
tax. I'm sorry, the federal tax, yeah.
So basically this number would be favorable.
If, yeah.
Saving money too.
If the price of gasoline goes down.
Yeah, this year we got hit because we were about $1 off.
Utilities is going down. It's one of those cases where I think we over budgeted a little bit this year. We're not running that high, so we bumped the budget down a little bit. Decreased grounds improvements, a similar story. We're just not spending it this year, so we are lowering the budget for next year. Salt purchases, we pay about $55 for a ton, something like that. So the number of tons is very close from year to year. I think that's just the way the math worked out. I know that we do we try to buy to maintain a reserve, and I think we took down the reserve just a little bit.
Yeah.
This year the reserve is high. We're spending a lot on salt this year.
Yes.
Local transportation aids, we're taking a hit of $183,000. Decrease in revenue from the state, we're taking a hit on budget purposes for about $20,000. The next number, an increase in cross charges, is a result of a change we're making in the way we do the accounting, the way we transfer money within the departments of the highway budget, or within the line items of the highway budget, or possibly outside the highway budget. In the years past, the cross charges have not netted out to zero. They've always netted out to a negative. So we're going to eliminate the way we do those cross charges. And we will just, they're almost a duplicate of what we bill out in revenues. I have thought for about 2 hours on how to explain this. And I don't know if Vicki can help me, but we won't have negative cross charges anymore because there won't be cross charges, so they will go away. So the net number is going to be to increase highway expenses by $120,000. All that adds up to a gain or a decrease in levy of $476,000.
Anyone have any questions at this point?
What are cross charges? Can you explain it to me? What are, I have no idea. I don't know if I'm the only one sitting up here that doesn't know what it is, but I have no clue what that is.
We'll use the benefit cost pool. So all the benefits that are paid out, whether it be the time off that's paid, your fight with your medical, it's all put in a cost pool. And then a percentage of that is charged out against the actual labor. And it's through the state accounting manual that we developed this, what we call an incidental labor rate, benefit rate. And so that cost allocation is in the highway accounting system. You charge out, you allocate all the benefit costs out against all of your actual labor. We have a cost pool for field tools. So we pay the shovels and safety vests and all of that. And so it just gets allocated out against all the field labor. And we bill it to the townships, we bill it to the states, and it's then we reimburse for part of the benefits, part of the small tools, things like that. And administrative costs we get back.
So you get board.
Sure.
Right,
basically
it's like an
rental type
right.
Deal.
So the actual expenses are up above, and then this is a way to charge them.
We will continue to bill out, though. We will not change the way we bill out.
Just the way we account for it.
Just the way we account for it.
Thank you.
Any other questions on that?
Capital?
Yeah.
Page 91. Again, up on top are the smaller items. Utility vehicle. Rehabilitation of a couple of graders. I don't know if Gary, you want to take over? If you just have questions about those?
The two graders are, we're replacing the caps, which just basically disintegrated over time. So both graders' caps are going to be replaced, and hopefully we'll get paint valves also. But we have trying to get as much useful life as we can out of our existing equipment. The AVL GPS is, we're looking at getting some consultant help to design systems that we'll be investing in the future. We're looking at a base program in 2013 and 2014 to install the AVL GPS on all of our equipment. It's a huge investment. We're probably looking at about $500,000. We wanted to make sure that that is designed and operates correctly. So the $25,000 will fund a consultant that will provide expert design system that will serve a useful purpose to us. We don't want to do it just to do it. We want to do it so that it will increase their efficiency. A pickup truck is, we're basically replacing a 1992 Suburban that's used as a shop vehicle. It's almost 20 years old. Although we're rotating, we do rotate our equipment. The shop vehicle is in a real high use. We're actually going to replace one of the foreman trucks and start rotating that truck down into the fleet. So there's two or three different rotating vehicles involved in that. The SUV is replacing one of the patrol superintendent's cars. It's about it's got about 195,000 miles on it. It's a Chevy Impala. I guess it's my preference that we no longer send these our employees out in these cars. You know, they have to be out in the worst weather. That's their job, is to patrol during the worst winter weather. It's my preference that they get a four-wheel drive vehicle. The $33,000, and this goes for all of this, the trucks and equipment that we buy, the $33,000 is a retail cost that we get from the different dealers that we work with. We aren't necessarily going to go out and spend $33,000. If we can get a vehicle like Ray was talking about through the state program, we'll do that. Otherwise, we're gonna bid it out and take a little bid. So it may cost $33,000 if those other options aren't available to us or if the bid results are that high, but we're not necessarily going to spend that much on that or the pickup truck or any of the other equipment. The two-way radios were required by federal government, the FCC, to convert to narrow-band two-way radios in all of our vehicles. There is a deadline at the end of 2012, so it's a federal mandate that the $85,000 will complete that project. The local road improvement program, $500,000. That's actually $250,000 in county funds, $250,000 in state funds. We're looking at the improvements to the Des Plaines River Bridge on Highway D and a bridge deck on Highway 8, White River Bridge. The Pets Main Road and Parking Lot Reconstruction Project is basically what it is. We're rebuilding the main road and parking lots in Petrified Springs Park. Pets Dam Removal and Bridge Construction, again, is removing that existing dam, rehabbing a portion of the Pike River and installing a bridge versus the dam. Highway G is a reconstruction and expansion project from 22nd Street to 15th Street that will rebuild that road into a four-lane facility to meet the current design standards. And on the bottom, the road engineering right-of-way construction slash bike trails, the $1,760,000 will fund 13 miles of resurfacing on county trunk highways.
Questions on any of these items?
Is the reconstruction, is 60th Street still in this budget, the changes?
The 60th Street from Highway 31 west to the Union Pacific Railroad is scheduled for reconstruction in 2012. That had been budgeted for in previous years and the money carried over for. The section of Highway K from the UP Railroad to Highway H is currently in design and that project construction has been pushed back to 2012.
What's the note about $250,000 of personnel costs, the capital investment?
Out of the $1,760,000 includes $250,000 of labor costs involved in with the highway crews doing the resurfacing work. About 15% of the cost of resurfacing is labor cost, and that those will be funded in the capital building along with the cost of the previous things.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to add is on the two PETS projects that we are pursuing, we've got a specific grant identified that we're working on to help out with the dam removal. So that is what we estimate to be the full cost, but we are hoping that we're going to get some grant money so we don't end up having to use that all that bonded. And then also on the PETS main road, we haven't identified specific, but we're working with people right now to identify anything that might help us out with that as well.
There's all kinds of people working on the Pike River and that, so I mean, this might not happen this year.
Right. It's budgeted here so that we could do it next year, but we're hoping that we will be able to get other grant monies to bring those our portion of the cost down.
Yeah.
Yes. John, you were working on that? You gave us an update on that like a few months ago?
On the dam?
Yeah.
On the dam, yeah.
Put in the paperwork for the grants project?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. The grant that we're looking at for the dam removal on the bridge, that grant application is due back in on the 28th of October. So we've got a little professional help giving us a hand with it because there's some technical aspects of it that we can't answer. So you should get that back to us shortly here and we'll put in some of the county figures and move it along.
Do you want to agree?
Just a question on the 60th Street resurfacing. You said it's scheduled for 2012.
The section between Highway 31 and the Union Pacific Railroad, including the Union Pacific Railroad crossing.
There will be two lanes as it is now, or four. And there will be bike lanes as in fog lines with the small amount of pay shoulder, is that correct?
There will be bike lanes on both sides, 4 feet wide, and there will also be a 10-foot wide asphalt path on the north side of the road that, for the most part, has already been completed by Unified Schools.
North side. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything else? Any discussion? That's it.
You have two building. You have two CIP.
There's three. Oh, in here or just the three that I have yet to talk about? Very observant. There's just three other items. There's page. I'll go real quick because I think you already know it there. Page 106. There's a $900,000 capital project that's for fiber ring D. That I think it's been in the paper. This is, I think it's the last. This is what you're talking about, right?
I don't think that's.
It's not that. But
yeah.
You only talk about the two projects.
Yeah,
the restoration project.
Okay. The next one is the $2,750,000 for the courthouse restoration. That is on page 128. That's the second half of that project. And the third and last one is parkland improvements. This is $75,000. This is the waste management cut back from, was it $250,000
a
year? Next year we're only planning on spending $75,000 because that's all we're planning on getting in. So that's an in and an out. Are those them, Vicki? Okay, thanks.
Any questions or discussion?
No.
We want to tentatively approve Mr. Sipsma's budget and the other capital. Send the recommendations on to the Finance Committee. Motion made by Supervisor Frederick. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Same by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Aye.
Both to the government. So, well, thank you for your presentation.
I just want to clarify, so did the committee take a formal action on the golf budget to make a recommendation?
Yes.
Yeah, we did it.
We made recommendations on items. The rest of it we didn't cut. So anything that we made motions on, which were motions were made to, let's see, where am I? Golf coordinator, supervisor, proposed reclassified golf business mechanic, and the golf GM, those motions were made.
Was there anything for the overall golf budget?
Well, yes, in doing that.
I don't think we ever did a motion.
There wasn't
one. No, we didn't, but in not doing it, we didn't tighten. I don't know if you're following me.
Yeah.
We didn't make any changes.
Oh, so by not making any changes,
correct.
It's recommended that.
Yeah.
Okay.
With these. Yeah.
With those changes.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
All in favor of
that? Aye.
Aye.
We're there. You know it. You want to go
through? Gary, your TV kit. TV. So, you can see the score.